you were correct.
Chewie was right.
Thank you.
Holy.
There's two snaps.
Chewie was right.
I just had a feeling. And that's why I went to bed at halftime. I did.
So you didn't even know you were right until this morning?
All right.
I got up at 4:50 and my wife just said, Bucks lost. I'm like, say it. I make her say it. She didn't want it at 5 in the morning, but I said, say it.
I'm starting to think that this whole Chewy Domus thing
yes.
is a big old ruse so you can go to bed at halftime.
I think you're right.
I'm starting to think he's Biff bleeping Tannen over here. I'm starting to think he's got the almanac sitting at his lake house, and he just hasn't shared the wealth with us yet, okay?
It's unbelievable how he's been able to, like, Chewie, you've told the story of how you thought, like, oh, I can go bet football games. You lost a decent chunk of money.
Know.
And now yet here you sit calling every single game of this Bucks series.
It has nothing to do with the play on the court. It just has to do with the psyche of the team and the player.
So you know? What do you mean? Explain that to me. Explain to me how you knew yesterday that it was going to be a close game and that the Bucks were going to lose.
Well, go back to game one, right? Bucks handle the Celtics at home, right? So after that game, the Bucks team collectively are like, okay, we thought it would be game two. It turned out to be game one, right? So then there's a natural letdown.
So you get your split. You already
have
it.
So then the Celtics come back. So the Bucks lose game two in Boston, come back, and I knew that. I thought, obviously, the spread of the win would be a lot bigger.
Sure.
But tonight, then there's that natural letdown. It's a Monday. It's not really a national game.
What do you mean it's not a national game?
Celtics are up against it. I just think if the game was at Sunday at 2:30, there would have been a lot more people nationally.
But how is that comparable to football? Because obviously you come from a football background. I know you're an athlete. We know about your jumps and your leaps and your hops in basketball. I just want to make sure that we said jumps and leaps and hops. But how does that equate to football when you play once a week? Like, isn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have that game and then a day off and then a game. Like, so how does that psyche work in football?
It's juice. It's like, you know, when you're playing in front of a national audience instead of a regional audience. And you like to think it doesn't matter. But when you're playing, let's say we're 10-2 and we're playing
the Lions at noon,
a 7-5 team, right?
Mm-hmm.
We should win, but the game winds up being a lot closer than it does. Just,
is that how you end up?
And I tell you another lie. I don't know if it's a lie, but every flipping player, when they're competing in a game, knows what the spread is. Every one of them. Every one of them. Huh. We knew what the spread was. Whenever the spread came out, you knew what the spread was. So for guys to sit there and go, well, I don't know if we were favored or not, that's biggest bunch of crap you ever. Huh. Everyone knows.
Well, this was our patented nut gut punch because the Bucks had a win probability as high as 89% in the third quarter of this game. And it did feel like, look, Brook was having a good fourth quarter. He was a run stopper at one point. You were like, all right, here's the Brook Lopez that we like. So we're going to just not try to overthink this morning. We're going to use the old reliable Seinfeld scale of concern. Where are you this morning after the Bucks' wheels fell off in the fourth quarter? Al Horford happened in the fourth quarter with a playoff career high of 30 points, matched by Jason Tatum with 30 points as well. Look, Giannis got his double-double, but it just wasn't enough, I guess, supporting cast last night. Where are you this morning? And Ashton, let's remind the people of the Seinfeld scale of concern this morning.
Let's do that first. If you're just feeling all right, nothing really too bad.
Yada, yada, yada.
If things are a little bit bad.
You look a little stressed.
Oh, I'm stressed.
And me most days.
I'm freaking out! I am freaking out!
Now, let's be clear as we workshop this on the air. This is about the series as a whole, not next game. We're worried. What do you think, Gabe? We're worried. We're checking your Seinfeld scale of concern for now the Bucks' success in the series or their win probability next game as they go back on the road to TD Garden.
I mean, I take it one game at a time, but the answer is the same for me in terms of the next game, in terms of the series.
I'm freaking out.
I am freaking out.
Why?
That was a terrible fourth quarter. Just an awful fourth quarter. I understand the Celtics got hot, but like, their offense was just so stagnant, and they just got absolutely nothing out of everybody else other than Pat Connaughton and Giannis.
But is that coaching? Because that's two in a row.
So, yeah, the fourth quarter was like...
But that's two in a row, Gabe. Yeah, they were up by 15
which
in
made
game
me
three.
Nervous going into the fourth quarter. And it was the exact same stuff, Chu. Like, the exact same stuff. Now, they didn't have as big of a lead going into the fourth quarter, so they weren't able to hold on to the end. And the Celtics certainly got much hotter yesterday than they did in game three. But just too much stagnant. You watch the Celtics offense. When they set that screen and they want to go, you know, trying to get a switch or something, like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, they come off that screen hard. It's more action where the Bucks set the screen, get the switch, and now we're going to go ISO.
And you can't do that because the Celtics aren't a lazy defensive team,
no.
Man. Even when they collapse, they are athletic enough to be able to get back out on the perimeter if that's the way that you decide to go. So it was the Celtics outscored the Bucks by 15 in the fourth quarter, 43-28. We mentioned Horford. We mentioned Tatum. I think this was too much iso ball, too much one-on-one. When the Bucks are at their best, guys, they're making the extra pass. They're moving the ball around. They're facilitating, finding the open man. This becomes hero ball way too often for the Bucks, where it's like, oh, we got to cut into a deficit. Drew, take the ball, driving inside. I know you guys said you thought that was the play when I said that in the text chain, but I was like, nah, man, if I can tell that's what he's going to do because he's got tunnel vision on the basket, guess what? The Celtics know it as well.
But he's got to finish.
Right, he's an NBA player that
gotta,
got to the hoop. He's got to finish.
You got
to
finish. Like Drew,
but
Drew
he
Holiday,
didn't, and he was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, Drew has to be better.
Yeah, like, but
plain
the Celtics.
And simple, plain and simple. For the Bucks to win this series, Drew has to play better. He was 5 of 22 yesterday.
But the Celtics are almost the opposite, where at times I'm like, God, you're passing it too much. I mean, they really move the ball, right?
Yeah.
The Bucks don't.
And I think Stan, who was terrible last night, by the way, Stan Van Gundy, what the
God
bleep
awful.
Was he doing last
Good
night?
Good God.
But he did make a good point of how a lot of times in this series, the Celtics have had decent looks in the paint, then they elect to kick it out and not take those shots in the paint, which is one of the reasons the Bucks are dominating points in the paint in the series. But with no Chris Middleton, who is that guy in that fourth quarter, can be that guy in the half court, you need to have guys step up. You need Drew to be better. And where the hell's Bobby Portis?
Yeah.
Bobby Portis has been
invincible.
In the
invisible.
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 Not invincible.
Invincible.
But, I wish he was invincible.
But even Lopez.
No, Papali.
But even Lopez is like, all right, you played a good game. Like, someone needs to be in the 20s behind Giannis, right?
Yes, 100%.
Someone's got to be in the 20s.
Yep.
And I know we're talking, I mean, Holiday had 16, Lopez had 17. But add another 7 points or so, I don't know, it's...
Speaking of, I think Drew Holiday went over our projected over-under yesterday because we had it as 20.5. He took 22 shots in yesterday's game, which is still a far cry from the 30 in the game prior. And we were asking if you wanted him to take 30 shots. Not when you're shooting at that percentage, man. Not when you're shooting at that cliff. Let's get out to Brian in Lake Mills. Brian, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Where are you on the Seinfeld scale of concern for the Bucks in this series?
I'm freaking out here.
I'm freaking out.
First off, I wanted to call about Chewy came on and you gave him a Chewy was right away in the morning. But also yesterday he started off by saying how it's not prime time. It's a Monday early game. They're not going to be up for it. The Bucks came out and they came out and played really well and the supporting cast did with another clunker of a first quarter for Giannis. But,
Brian, before you continue your point, sometimes you just got to let some stuff go. Chewy just projects his feelings. It's a Monday, so he is going to project his feelings on everything on a Monday. So I think that's kind of what happened. We let it go. So you just got to let it go sometimes.
That, I guess that's pretty much what Bastion said. He said there's really no rule. But I think the part of the reason of freaking out is the Bucks just have no bench whatsoever. You saw Giannis was gassed. They're coming off of a one-day rest, and what's going to happen again? They got a one-day rest. Who is it? That Williams?
Yeah.
He didn't even play in the fourth quarter almost. The Bucks are done just from a pure factor of, there's no ball movement. Coach Bud is not doing any offensive sets except for, you guys do whatever you want in crunch times. And Giannis was just extremely gassed and I just think just because of the short rest, they probably might even get blown out in this next game.
Woo! Thanks for the call, Brian. Hasn't that been a criticism of Bud? Gabe, hasn't it been a criticism at times that he will just let the guys go out there and kind of play ball and not really have the offensive set, not really set things up? And look, it worked to the tune of a title last year. It worked to the tune of the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So there is a part of you that goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But it
whatever,
is broke.
That's what I was going to say. Whatever you're doing in this series, oh, you're
Chris's
gonna...
knee is broke. That's what's broke about this, because they get that more movement when Chris is there. And it's Drew and Giannis are the only ones who can really come up with their own shots. So trying to facilitate to other guys and trying to figure that out. They have to have that movement, about the only time they get it, it seems, when they can at least get a little bit of a weave going at the top of the 3-point arc, is when Giannis is out. Okay, we got to move the ball a little bit more because Giannis isn't here to just dump it to him, and he can make something happen with 10 seconds left on the shot clock.
Does Giannis have to learn to control his emotions, though? I mean, does he get to? And I'll give you an example. When I played in the Super Bowl, right? You are gassed before you even take the field. Gassed,
mm-hmm.
Because you know the enormity of the game, you know, and you have to learn to kind of, as Keith would say, live to play another day or live to play another play. You know what I mean? You can't be balls to the wall ever. And that's why you get gassed, because you're gassed so emotionally.
He
does. But I mean, does he have to learn to kind of control that and pick your spots when you get...
Yeah, and I think part of it,
it's like pacing yourself, right? It's like pacing yourself. I think about running a mile, and you can't run. You know, you got four laps. Yeah. You got four quarters here, buddy. You can go balls to the wall, 1, 2, and 3, but if it leaves you gassed in the fourth quarter, and look, they talked yesterday in the postgame thing about Giannis laying on the ground, right? There were a couple of times after a hard foul or after, you know, some contact underneath, he's laying on the ground. Is he trying to get an extra breather? Absolutely,
he
is, man. He is trying to catch his breath. He's trying to give himself a breather, maybe give his guys a breather as well, because he's absolutely gassed.
Well, and part of that is because their offensive sets in the half court have been so bad, it seems that anytime he gets that opportunity in transition, especially when we got to third, fourth quarter, he was just, all right, I got to go. This is my opportunity. Yeah. We're in transition. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go.
There's